Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family, and for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
I just really feel like for us to receive what God's wanting to do, I'm going to steal this for just a moment. Also, Shirley led pre-service prayer this morning. It'll be the last time she's able to lead because she said a simple prayer in there. And I'm joking. Some of y'all can laugh. She said this crazy prayer. She said, "Lord, even though that Pastor Mike prepared something all week, I just think he's supposed to do something else." Well, that's the reason she will not be doing pre-service prayer anymore. She prays dangerous prayers because that's what happened. And the pastor loves to be somewhat prepared instead of going, "Oh, God, please, no." So, Shirley, you need to take a month sabbatical. Kidding. I love it. I love the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible, I just want to share, because I believe half of us, I'm going to say again, are having a hard time receiving God's love. And I really, it's just some great song selections, Charlie. Awesome job. I mean, I hope that you pray for the worship team. The time and diligence that they each, especially the leaders, take time to hear what God is saying and doing. I hope that we learn to really honor. Hope that we learn to honor Jason in the time that he puts in to do the sound. I hope that those who have gotten prayer from the Prophetic Business Prayer Council, that you've learned to honor the men and women of God who pray for you through the week. Coming up to this particular Sunday, and has prayed for you. I look across the room because I really believe God's trying to teach us about honor. I know that they persevere and they pray and they push in for your breakthrough. And I look at Sid over here and he got prayer for him. He's got a great job. Come on, that's a good time for an amen shout. I think of Jason Jones back there as he was talking, and now I just kind of disrupted him. He got prayer by the team, and he's got a great job. God's trying to teach us about honor and honoring Him. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark 8:24. I'm going to share three scriptures that the Lord gave me to kind of change the message today big time. Thanks again, Shirley. Just playing with you. I love to have fun. 7:24. My bad. Mark 7:24. There's something about hunger that'll scare the snot out of the enemy. That's a Hereford saying. Hunger terrifies the enemy. And I believe every one of us in this room want to be hungry. Want to be hungry for something, and every one of us in this room want to be hungry for God. But the enemy tries to put little governors on us. And for those who are younger and you may not know what a governor is, it would, back in the day of high school football and high school basketball, you know, we'd have athletic people, I mean, coaches fall asleep at the bus, so it's a good thing that the governor could only go about 60 miles an hour. I think of Jeff Smarty. He fell asleep one time when we were going to a basketball tournament and we're eighth graders going, "Coach, wake up. So it's a good thing governors, it's a little reminiscing there, governors would keep the vehicle from exceeding a certain speed limit. Back in those days, the school buses could only do 60 miles an hour. Well, see, can I tell you that God's created you to go 500 miles an hour for Him? But the enemy puts a governor of shame, past mistakes, sin on us, and we'll only go for God for 100 miles an hour. Because you see, shame and fear is a great governor that the enemy puts on us. And so we won't go wholeheartedly, even though everything within us wants to. And it takes the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit to break that governor off of our life. And can I tell you, the cross and the resurrection life of Jesus Christ destroyed every governor that the enemy ever created. Verse 24 of Mark 7. From there he arose and went to a region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For some of us, there's times that God wants to hide to see if you'll pursue him. Really, it's truth. If you don't believe me, turn to, as I make this first point, turn to Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it's the glory of kings. It's the glory of sons and daughters of the king to search out a matter. He wants to see if you'll really go after that truth that'll set you free. He wants to see it when he hides his presence, when he hides his truth for just a moment. He wants to see if you're going to press in for your victory of the revelation that comes. Back when our kids were little, and now we're ready for grandkids so that we can do the Easter egg hunts again. I mean, I love how we used to hide those Easter eggs, and we'd put money in some and candy in others, and the kids, remember that? For some of you who have little kids and those who have grandkids now, and they search and they run and they find that egg. And they open it up, and sometimes it's a dollar in it. Sometimes it's five. And if you're David Mastin, who's very wealthy, he puts tens and twenties in it. Gideon's a very wealthy two-year-old. He's got a 401k already. Great portfolio already for Gideon. Amen? And that's the way the Father is. He hides those nuggets and treasures of His truth. And he wants to see if you're going to be a true son and daughter. You see, too many of us have treated Jesus like he's Santa Claus. Oh God, I need this. Oh God, I need that. And it requires very limited hunger on our part. It lets me continue to go with the culture of the earth, as it says in Ephesians 5. It says that do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And do dances and sings and psalms and so forth and so on. What that's saying, he says, are you going to pursue the culture of the earth? Or are you going to pursue my culture and be filled with the fullness of me? It's time to seek and be filled with the fullness of him. It's time to find those Easter eggs, if you will, of his treasure. Easter representing the cross and his resurrection. Will we go after to find those treasures? So Jesus hides and he wants to be hidden. But there's a woman that's hungry for breakthrough. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. And she came and fell at his feet. You see, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. In other words, she didn't have covenant right at the time to pursue Jesus. She's a Gentile. The Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out. It's only for the Jews. She's not even supposed to be at this place of pursuit. You and I are on the other side of the cross. We have the opportunity and privilege and honor to pursue Him. This woman has no legal grounds to be pursuing Jesus. And I'm ashamed of myself that this woman who did not have legal grounds to pursue Jesus, I find her in Scripture pursuing Him more than I pursue Him. And I have covenant right as a son to pursue Him. I believe God wants to awaken the church. Nancy reminded me of a story. It was in the Intercessor book. Got it on the web. And I read it years ago, and she reminded me last week. So if I mess up the story, just stand up and take the mic away from me. And the story was that Benny Johnson and a group of intercessors went to this place for intercession, for a breakthrough in this one area. And the Lord had spoken to this one woman to go to this area. Am I doing it right? Okay, here, take the mic.
Benny had an intern from Wales. And after she'd completed her internship at Bethel, she went home, and God woke her up one morning and said, I want you to go to Moriah Chapel, which is where the Welch Revival started. And he said, I want you to go and say, wakey, wakey. And she said, I can't do that. I look like an idiot. And he goes, I want you to go. And so after wrestling with the Lord a little bit, she goes. And she's thinking, okay, this won't be so hard. There won't be anybody there at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever. It's really early. She gets there, and it's packed because it's a big tourist attraction. It's packed. And so she stands there in front of the chapel and goes, wakey, wakey. And the Lord goes, that's not loud enough to wake anything up. So she goes, wakey, wakey. And he goes, louder. So she finally goes, wakey, wakey. And she turns around and walks off. She's probably embarrassed. And as she's walking off, she hears a noise, and she turns around and looks, and there's this enormous angel coming out of the building and yawning and stretching, and she goes, who are you? And he says, I'm the angel of the Welsh Revival. And she goes, oh, are you going to lead a new one? And he goes, no, it's going to be much greater. Bigger angels are going to have to lead this one. So years later, however much later, Benny is out in an RV with a team of intercessor friends praying, and they're near the Mojave Desert, and she feels like she sees some figures shimmering in the desert, and she says, I think we're supposed to drive over there. And as they get closer, she says, I think we're supposed to wake this stuff up, whatever it is. And so they drive out, and they say, wakey, wakey, and that's kind of it. Nothing big happens that she told us about in the book I read. They drive off, but they discover they're in, like, Moriah County, California. The name of the chapel was Moriah Chapel. So, anyway, Benny's into waking things up.
So I share all that, and I don't want to get off on this. Can I tell you that there were angels over those regions of the Scripture in Revelations? And I encourage you to go read the first 2 and 3 chapters of Revelations. There's angels that are positioned over regions. There's angels that are designated for each and every one of us, and that's not my point of the script that I'm trying to hit on today. But God is looking to awaken you and I. He's seeking to awaken a sleeping giant that is His body of Christ. I'm a pastor of 22 years, and I love the bride of Christ. I am in no way disrespecting Jesus' bride. And I believe we need to quit talking bad about the bride and start doing what it said in Ezekiel so that a great and mighty army would come up. Because God's looking for true prophetic intercessors. So that was a side note. It's time for you and I to awaken. I'm going to back up verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking. Are there things that are in your heart, a marriage, a healing, a child that's wayward that you've quit asking? Again, this woman of God's not even has legal grounds to be asking. But she's hungry for the Lord, and she's hungry for breakthrough. And she kept asking. She kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus wants to see really how hungry you and I are. If we're just going to sit in our living rooms at home and complain that we don't have anything to do, and He's wanting to see if you'll pursue Him. And Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. You see, sometimes Jesus will say something very, very hard to you to see how you're going to respond. As it says in Proverbs, He says, there are hungry ones that eat and pursue Me, even after hard things and sweet things. And the Lord will have somebody walk up to you at some times, and we need some fresh fire stirring of the prophetic in the church that will speak to us and call us forth, that would not knock us down, but cause us to rise up and pursue God more. How many of us would have, if Jesus would have said that, we go home and give up on our breakthrough? Who you calling a dog? I'll go sign up for inner healing for the next 20 years. For those of you who know me, you understood that little shot there. Jesus is trying to offend our hearts to pursue hunger. Some of us get offended of heart and we go and we need ministry after ministry after ministry. God does an offense on purpose to see if she'll hunger for her breakthrough. I want to ask you, has somebody offended you in this last season and has it caused you to back down or to pursue God for a greater breakthrough? Gosh, that's a great question. And it's a great question for each of our hearts. God will set up offenses in our Christian journey to see if we're going to pursue Him or back away and back down. Gosh, that was good. That deserved a little bit more than that. But anyway, we need to be like Bill. Well, I'll come over here and speak to this side. But this side didn't say anything either. But anyway. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." That's one of the greatest passages in Scripture. Instead of being offended, it causes her heart to come up and declare such a kingdom truth that I believe all of heaven got quiet. I believe the great saints, as it says in Hebrews, were looking over the balcony of heaven, and Paul was probably giving a high five to Peter and everything else. The wave, that's probably where the wave got birth, was in heaven, was at this statement. Somebody at a baseball game think that they created the wave. No, man, Peter and Paul and the disciples in the balcony of heaven started it that day. Come on, that's good. You liked that one, didn't you, Philip? I can tell that's the first time something registered there. The way, yeah, let's go. Then he said to her, remember, Jesus only said and did what he heard and saw the Father doing. Can you imagine the joy and excitement that came pouring out of Jesus on this statement? Can you imagine the communion from heaven to earth of the Father to the Son of the Holy Spirit and go, wow. For this saying, for this incredible revelation you have, go your way. For the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed in her right mind. Many of us have some situations that only hunger is going to bring to breakthrough. And when God tells us to do something that seems impossible, He'll do it to call us up to a higher platform, not to put us down. And in closing, and this is where I really believe some of us are having a hard time receiving God's love. Turn to 2 Samuel 9. It's 13 verses, and I'm going to read it real quick. Now David said, Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? For those who know the story, Jonathan and David were very, very close. And as I started this message out in honor, David, Jonathan, and Saul have already been killed in battle. And David is looking for somebody to honor. You see, honor will bring some great breakthrough, and we need to find honor to one another. Charlie, you do an awesome job. Laura, you do an awesome job. It's time to really esteem people higher than ourselves, as Scripture says. Verse 2, and there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God to? And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." You have to understand, when one king took over the kingdom, many, many times he killed the past king's family line. And when Mephibosheth came up, he just knows it's time for his execution. He falls down, and in that place as he falls down, he's crying out for mercy from King David, but he gets so much more. Just like you and I, we deserve death from the King of Kings. And we come and we find out we have great mercy. I'm going to start, do verse 7 again. So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I'll surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of your Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Don't you love God? He's going, "I'm not even going to just bless your land, Mephibosheth. I'm not only going to give you the land of yours and your dad's. I'm going to go all the way back to your granddad. This is the daddy of heaven that you and I serve. And he puts this banqueting table before us all the time to eat of." And some of us have a hard time entering in of worship because we're still bowing down to the shame of our past mistakes and our past regrets. We don't deserve that. Verse 8. Then Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" Can I tell you, I can look at some of your countenance today and I can tell you look and feel like a dead dog. The other story was about a dog. But even the dogs get the crumbs that come from the table. Some of us are satisfied to be eating the crumbs of the kingdom of God, and He's given you this incredible bread. This incredible deep meat of mercy and kindness and greatness. Don't everybody shout down at once. Verse 9. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest. It's time where the reaper truly overtakes the sower, as I preached 3 weeks ago, that your master's son may have the food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." You see, Mephibosheth in the story, he's lame. He can't walk. He had an accident happen when they were fleeing at one time. Some of us are lame in our walk with the Lord. We have some past sins that are haunting us. We have some past regrets that are keeping us from understanding. Jesus paid the price for me to eat at the King's table. I believe that Christians ought to be the most happy, joyful, I mean crazy happy. I'm talking crazy full of life. I'm getting it more and more, and I want to give it away. This past week, in closing, because we're fixing to go back into worship and then ministry, it's time to get rid of our spiritual lameness. It shouldn't be that the worship team has to take two songs to get us ready. And I'm truly preaching this message for the American church. It's time that we come in and we don't need a pot of coffee, and I'm as guilty as anybody, to wake me up and get me ready to worship Jesus. We ought to be so full of joy because I get to sit always at the King's table. this past Wednesday and really trying to do this to get focused and intentional everywhere I go. I'm having lunch with Stephen Parr in Grapevine on Wednesday, and the waitress just kept, you know, she'd come, and the Lord would just nudge me, ask her if she needs prayer, ask her if she needs prayer. And Steve and I are talking about some good, serious things, and at the end, I mean, the meal is almost over, and she brings the ticket. And at the end at that time, I said, hey, I want you to know I'm a pastor, love the Lord. It's time to quit being ashamed of who we served. There's a lot of people out there saying, I'll pray for you, but yet their God is Buddha and all these others. We need to let them to know. Now, I'm not always that way. I mean, there's sometimes I try to hide. This time I felt like I was supposed to be bold to a precious lady by the name of Mary. See, I think that's very prophetic, Mary. God wants to awaken her heart to be Mary. And as I asked her, I said, is there anything we can pray for you? I felt like the Lord told me there's something on your heart. She just didn't get crocodile tears. She just didn't let one or two tear come down. She began to bawl and bawl at our table. And I'm talking breakdown. She said, I cannot even believe you've asked. I'm going through a very hard divorce. Steve and I got to minister to her at that table. The harvest is ripe. We need to get over our lameness and get on with the daddy's business, because you and I, we get to eat the bread of God at daddy's table every day. So as we go back into worship, and Philip, if you or Matt, will you go turn that light off, that one, furthest one on the right. We're going to go back into worship. And if you have lameness, well, let me do this as the worship team comes back up. You see, I'm like Wellington Boone. I loved what Wellington, he kind of trained me in 1993. He said, you know, if you need prayer ministry for this, we're not going to bow every head and close every eye, because you need to make a confession and get your liberty in front of the entire. He was black. If you can catch my black Ebonics there, were you flowing with it? Come on, some of y'all are too serious this morning. He said, it's time to make a confession in front of your brothers and sisters. If you know you have spiritual lameness and you're being held that governor, God's created you to... What's the best car there is? Maserati? I mean, what is the best, fastest? Who? Who? Okay, I can't pronounce that one. I'll go with Ferrari over here. Yeah, Honda Accord. Yeah, so you could have God made you to be a Ferrari, and you're being settled for OJ's Bronco. I just threw OJ in there, but you're being settled for a Bronco. In other words, you could be running at an incredible speed all the time because you've been created to be at the King's table. If you know you have spiritual lameness, you deal with shame, past regrets, and you're ready to be a wholehearted lover who eats at the King table. You see, Jesus already paid the price for your clothing of royalty. If that's you, I want to invite you to stand, because we're going to pray for you. Today is your day of deliverance and freedom. Anybody else? You're tired of living with the spiritual lameness. Anybody else? Okay, Hopers, look around. And I want you to get a word for a person that God directs you to go pray for them. And I want you to go to them and don't even ask them what the situation is. Lay your hands on them and let the goodness and faithfulness of God go flowing through. We're going to get everyone covered. Nobody's there for you yet. Just hang on. We will be. Come on, this is going to be good today.
Hope is in Him. No, my hope is in Him. No, my hope is in Him. No, my hope is in Him. Is your hope in Him this morning? Let's sing it out.
And all my hope is in Him.
Is there anything He can't do?
And all my hope is in Him.
Because He is faithful.
And all my hope is in Him.
Glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen. Come on, let's give Him a clap offering. All right, you may be seated for a moment. I'm telling you, if you leave here in about another hour and a half, we'll be finished. Kidding, kidding, kidding. But if you leave the same way you came in, it's by your total choosing. Because God was here and God's good. And Sherry, I'm going to tell you something, sweet girl. You know, I just feel like you're on a great journey. Both of you are, but really big time you. I feel like when I see those videos that you make and you're about as crazy as anybody could be, you're going to be that same way spiritually. And you really are. You just don't know it yet. And I know you want to. And that's, I could see that governor that the enemy's still trying to keep on you, it's not going to be able to hang around. It's kind of like Forrest Gump. When they started picking on him, he finally decided, I got to take off running. You like Forrest Gump? I mean, it really registered there. You love it? That's your favorite movie? Well, good. I love that place when he takes off running and all of that stuff that had restricted him came flying off. And that's you, woman of God. And you need to write that down and go watch that movie again, especially that part. Cried all through it yesterday. Well, good. Then this is your day, Ford, to really... Those are exclamation marks of God's love on you. Amen. All right, Wendy Kay, you got your work cut out for you. God's up here moving, so she's going to do some ministry now, so it's all good.
Woo. I'm having a good time. can I invite my husband to be join me? That's okay. You know that song, that the last one that we were doing about declaring the goodness of God, the things that you say. And I think it's Revelation 19:10, which says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when you start declaring specific things about him or about what he's done in your life, that's a prophetic word that you're releasing for this to happen again and again. And I've been, can you help me with this? Been looking at 1 Samuel 7, for those of you who want to look there. But it talks where the Israelites were being attacked, and Samuel cried out to God for help. So then God sent thunder, and he totally freaked out their enemies. They went into panic, and the Israelites, who were afraid, were now able to conquer them. So 1 Samuel 7:12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. Those are two places. And he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So he set up this stone. He named it Ebenezer, which is not Scrooge, by the way, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And what struck me about this passage is that he made a physical symbol to remind everybody, hey, the Lord has helped us. And I thought about my own life, and this is what I want to ask you today is, have you made symbols in your life for ways in which God has helped you? Have you, either verbal testimonies or other kinds of testimonies, things to remind you that God has helped you? And are you confessing those on a regular basis? When you get into trouble now, do you remember, oh, God helped me before, so I'm releasing him to do that again? And that's just what I wanted to share with you today. I asked Andrew to share some prophetic words with people, and be blessed.
Okay, I just wrote on some things earlier in the service. I'll just go through them real quickly. First one is for Ryan. God is in the beat that you hear in your head, that rhythm. He's given you a way to understand life in rhythms and in beats. And to see him moving in your life in rhythms, and to see him moving in people's lives around you in rhythms. And you can, they don't see it. Turns out they don't see it. It's a gift that God has given you to see these things. And you're going to be able to say things like, talking to your friend, like, hey, remember that one time when this happened, and then 2 weeks later this happened, and then 2 weeks later this happened? That was God doing such and such in your life. And you're going to be able to see and speak those things into people's lives. Opie. You're like the variety. You bring variety to things. M&M, the company M&M's, they did an experiment where they had just like one color M&M's in a bowl, and people would eat some. Then they had another bowl with multicolored M&M's, and people always ate more when it was multiple colored, because people just wanted more of multiple colored variety. So that's you. This is for Jen Orand. Where'd she go?
She was back there.
She went that way. I'll skip it. Probably the word wasn't that good. This one's Okay. Bridget. Actually, this was Bridget. I don't know if this was a word for you, but when I saw you this morning, I got the word, the name Mary, which Mike talked about, a waitress named Mary. But do you know, is there someone you know in your life named Mary, or no? So I think the relationship there is that story, and that ministry to that waitress is somehow a story that God wants to share specifically with you.
So I think, Bridget, about that story, Mike talked about not hesitating. And so that God is saying, don't hesitate when you feel like, oh, I need to pray for this person. Don't be like, oh, no, come on. Da, da, da. Just be like, okay, yes, Lord, sure. Huh, can I pray for you? So don't hesitate.
And then sort of a Charlie, where'd Charlie go? Charlie back? Oh, there he is. It's like you're too cool for us. You're a different level of cool from the rest of us. And, you know, God loves everybody. Everybody, you know, like if I say, does God love you? Yeah. But God actually likes you. He thinks you're cool. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. You're actually like a rock star in his eyes. It's a word from Mike. You have the rocky anointing. I wrote this down before, and then you started sharing about pressing in for the bittery. The anointing is where you press in and keep going, persevere, and even when you get knocked down, you get back up and keep going. So in terms of like the stuff Hope Fellowship is going to do, I think you're going to have to do some of that, but you just keep getting up, yeah. And then this gentleman in the glasses here in the front.
Jimmy?
Okay, I just wanted to share that God thinks very highly of you. He holds you in very high regard and high honor. That's just all I got. I don't know what that means, but... Also, then I wrote down here for the entire right side of the church, because I was over there on the left side. I was getting some words for people in the middle, people over there, and I was trying to get some words for those people on the right side. And I said, man, someone over on this right side needs some encouraging words. And I was going to invite Mike to come up and prophesy to someone on the right side.
But he did it already.
But he did it. But I see I wrote it down first. So I'm just saying.
The ones you missed.
Oh, Jen. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jen and Brooklyn. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Jen Orand. God has given you a lot of gifts. And the picture that comes to mind is like a tectonic plate. In other words, it's an underlying force that can move things, huge things, big things that you wouldn't think could move. Like this building right now is being moved by the tectonic plate that the whole North America is being moved on. And when it starts to be moved and gets going, it's unstoppable. And that's what you're like. And it's scary to me that... I mean, you're in this church, and because of the stuff that you can do. I mean, it happens slowly, but it's a massive amount of stuff that gets moved, massive amount of things that get done. So, Jeff Pence, God has given you so much wisdom. Also, you're kind of like Jen Orand in that you're kind of like a tectonic plate that moves things, but not quite the same like her, not as to that level. Well, that's good. Brooklyn Smithwick, God is going to structure your life around friendships. It's going to be a very close friend here and another close friend here all throughout your life. Some people's lives are structured around the cities they live in over different periods of their life or the jobs they have, but your life is going to be structured around these very close friendships. Cherish those. Pay attention to those friendships and cherish them.
Okay, back to Ebenezer. I really do want you guys to go make Ebenezer stones for yourself. And I just want to share one thing in our life, which is that some years ago, we were separated and on the verge of divorce. And the fact that we can stand here today and do joint ministry and Hope Fellowship is a miracle. It really is. And I was thinking about it today. I'm like, God, I honor you so much for what you have done for us. And I wanted to make us available for prayer because I think we're kind of out of time. But we can pray for marriages, for people that want prayer after the service, okay?
Amen. Two of my favorite people right there. I mean that. They've come so far, just the goodness of God. And just real quickly, we will close. Philip's going to have some last few announcements. Excuse me. But up here, we're starting that class that called Christianity 101. We need to have people sign up who's going to come. Child care starts 8:45 to 9:45. Just know that it needs to be some biblical foundations in many, many deeper in many of our lives. So please make yourself available for that. And I know it's going to be a blessing. Men's retreat. Okay, if you're a man and you don't go, I'm going to take away your man card for 6 months. You already gave it away? Okay. Okay. But anyway, I invite you to come, even if you haven't been able to come to Quest for Authentic Manhood. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I encourage you to sign up. You can even bring the young lads, and because we're going to have a great, great time. I talked to Brad this past week of some different things we're going to do. And to be able to go down to a ranch and to be able to get away, and some of the stuff that we're going to have at night. And I invite you to pray that it doesn't rain. We're going to do the services out at night on that Friday and Saturday night. And to me and men were created outside the garden. If you've read John Eldridge's book on Wild at Heart, there's something about a man being with other men and worshiping God. And when you're outside and you're looking at the stars and all those other different things, it is a very kingdom bonding thing. So wives, I invite you, if you have little kids at home, take care of those kids. We're going to be back in time for that Sunday service. But do all you can, men, to be there. I guarantee you, you're going to have a great, great time. And also great, great fellowship. Parenting seminar, the Chapmans are doing that on October 26th and 27th. That the cost is $75 on that. The men's retreat, $60. And the parenting seminar, you're going to be blessed to learn from Tim and Debbie. Also, you need to sign up for child care. In the life language seminar in closing, November 2nd and 3rd, go take that profile on KLLP. See, you'll send out an email, remind you. It's the best thing that we ever did in our marriage.
That was cool. Candace, thank you for the offer to do that with you, but I just didn't feel like I was fully stretched out enough this morning. But I was not going to share this because of time, and then when I saw that, I thought I should. You know, as we were back there praising and worshiping, one of the things that God showed me was consomme. How many of you know what a consomme is? Anybody? It's a culinary thing. I know. That's just the way God talks to me. Okay, so it's a clear broth. It's a soup. And I'm going to give you like the 30-second, maybe 60-second way of how to make one, okay? It's you start off like you're making a stock, so you have water. But you have to season that. You have to put things into that, okay? And it's a lot of impurities that you actually put in there. You put meat in. You may put bones in. You may put vegetables in. And the broth gets really cloudy. But all of the flavor that's going to result comes from all of these things that are in there, okay? So you boil this and everything. Well, you have to make it from a stock. That's kind of cloudy. It's kind of dirty. You know, a stock, it's just like chicken stock or beef stock or whatever. It's got all this stuff in it. But to make it a consomme, you have to have something. You have to drop something in there to attract the impurities that are in there. So what you do is you create this. It's called a raft. And it has like egg in it, and you put all this stuff in there, and then you put this down in there, and as those impurities begin to boil, it attracts that into the raft, and what you end up with is you end up with this film on the top, a thick raft on top of this big pot, and everything below it is just clear consomme, just broth, and when you pull that raft up out of there, and you pull all the crap that gave that consomme the flavor. It took all of that stuff into that consomme. It's just like over there, right? At one time it was here, and one time she's embracing it, and then it's here, and then she's embracing it, and in the end she throws it aside, right? And she's free from it all. All that raft, you pull all that off, and what you're left with is a very rich, flavorful broth. All the crap that's going on in your life spiritually, we look at it as like maybe we're down and out. Maybe what have we done to, you know, cause this stuff to come on our lives or whatever it is. God's using that stuff. He's the one that gets dropped in. He attracts all the impurities. He's flavoring your life so that you are a rich consomme at the end of it all. Pure and flavorful, seasoned perfectly so that you can touch other people. It's hard to speak to things that maybe you don't walk with that limp. God's got those impurities, those imperfections. They're flavoring that. So don't despise that and don't discount it. Okay? That was more than a 30 or 60 second deal, but anyway. Okay. Now for my next point. No, I'm just kidding. That's it. Mike covered a lot of the announcements, but really on the men's deal, I want to encourage you guys, really, really, really encourage you guys, come to this deal, okay? You know, we'd originally said, okay, you're going to go if you come through the men's deal, and then you can go on the deal and all that. You know, it's going to be such a powerful deal that we really don't want anybody to miss out on the opportunity to go and be a part of this. So whether or not you've made it to all, and if you heard that at some point in time, if you made it to all of the, you know, classes or whatever, it doesn't matter. Come and be a part of the men's retreat. So, and there is a sign up over there, okay? This Wednesday morning, 10 to 12, ladies' prayer. There is child care provided here at the church, 10 to 12. And then very important, this Wednesday night, we're starting back up the midweek service. So we had laid off there for a few weeks there during the summer, but that resumes this Wednesday night. And there is child care on that also. Somebody's texting me. I'm just kidding. I'm looking at my... And then also, mark this on your calendars and be ready for this coming up on September the 23rd. We're going to, I'm looking at the wrong date. Where's the picnic? 30th. September 30th, church picnic. We did this a few months back when we went over, and I'm not sure where we're going to go yet. But we're going to go to a different local park here and just have a good time of fellowship and everything like that. It was a lot of fun last time we did it. Some good, healthy competition in volleyball. I think the older generation ultimately dominated the younger generation. But anyway, Leslie just texted me and said, the pot roast is burning, so I'll shut up. Any other announcements or anything like that? Yes, ma'am. And the directions, of course, are on the website. Yes. Yeah. Did y'all get that? All right. Y'all stand up. I'm so glad that Mike is able to call an audible. You know, if you guys watched the Cowboy game, you heard Chris Collinsworth talk about Tony Romo, and he said it could have been one of the best games he ever actually played in and everything. And they throughout the game, they're talking about how he has just such a presence to come up to the line of scrimmage, and he'll get underneath there, and he'll look out, and he'll see what he sees. And if he sees something, you'll hear him go, kill, 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 right? That's what happened this morning. Mike's got it all. He's got the play called, right? But he comes in, sees what's going on in the spirit, kill, 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 and boom, look what we got. It's just a great, great deal. So, good audible. Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for just where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Lord, there's freedom to come and just dance before you, sing before you, shout before you. We just feel that wakey. I just pray, God, that you would just awaken our spirit to you, Lord, that we would be able, even in our own daily lives, in our own lives, that we would be able to really align with what the Holy Spirit is telling us each and every day, and that if we've got a plan, that we would be able to be sensitive enough to call that audible in our daily lives, because you have divine appointments for us, and you have an assignment for each and every one of us, Lord. So I just pray, God, that you would just make us just extra sensitive to what it is that you're calling us to this week. Pray that you would we just thank you for just all the blessings, Lord, that you have given us. Give us just remembrance of the little nuggets that you put into our life of your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.